With the inner city graveyards closed, London had run out of space to bury its dead. Burial grounds had to be further afield. The solution to this conundrum came from another great Victorian development, the railway. The time had come for Londoners to go to their last home far from the city itself. 25 miles away, to be precise, on the desolate heaths of Surrey. Chadwick's vision of a national cemetery was to eventually be realised in 1849 in the form of the Brookwood Necropolis at Woking. The last great cemetery was not in London at all, but had its vital part to play in the disposal of the city's dead. The Illustrated London News approved.
The whole scene is most varied and extensive, though a succession of encircling hills bound this extent and lend the charm of peacefulness and solitude. To the west and south, these hills are very striking. Those towards Hampshire lie, as we can see, amidst wild and solitary heaths, and bear to their summits traces of rugged nature, while those to the south are fringed by woodlands and softened to some degree by cultivation.
How different this cemetery seemed from the overcrowded London graveyards it was designed to replace. At over 2,000 acres, Brookwood in Surrey was truly a city of the dead. Far from London, but easily reached by train, the necropolis would be on a cheap, greenfield site with plenty of room for expansion. Devoted to the continental usage of giving each corpse a separate grave, making it the most beautiful garden in the world.
In 1854, the company had leased land from the London South Western Railway near Westminster Bridge Road for the site of a private station, despite objections from local residents who were not best pleased at living next to a station for the dead. Adjacent to LSWR's viaduct into Waterloo Station, this was designed by William Tite and William Cubitt at a cost of £23,231, 14 shillings and fourpence. The London necropolis opened on the 13th of November 1854. It was an ambitious project, since George Stephenson had only launched the first passenger train service in 1830. The first through train from Waterloo to Southampton did not take place until 1838, only 6 years before the London Necropolis Company opened its private station at Waterloo. There was considerable doubt as to whether the noise and clamour of a railway station was appropriate to Christian burial. The LSWR carried coffins from the private station down the main line. There were separate hearse cars for Anglicans and dissenters, and, in keeping with Victorian notions of social propriety, three classes of carriage for the living and the dead. A first-class corpse received a higher level of customer care and a nicely decorated carriage. Trains ran straight into the cemetery grounds. There were two stations, each for different parts of the cemetery, north for dissenters and south for Anglicans, adjacent to the corresponding chapels. The south station was licensed and, in addition to catering for funeral parties, offered afternoon tea to visitors strolling in the cemetery. It also operated as a pub, which did much to reconcile the locals to the giant cemetery on their doorstep. Porters and their families lived here, with the porter's wife catering for upwards of 100 mourners with tea, coffee, homemade sandwiches and cakes. Steve Stimler and Paul Dawley were reading extracts from Necropolis, London and Its Dead by Catherine Arnold.